You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Monday, October 21st. This is The Christian Commute. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and you're riding to the football fields with me. But this isn't Coach Seth Dunn. It's just Dad Seth Dunn going to watch my daughter cheer. So I actually get to watch tackle football today. And our team has this big kid who nobody can stop. Well, he's not big. He's just strong. So looking forward to that. Back on a normal schedule. It's not midnight. I'm recording the show at 5, so everything is normal. The only thing that's different is that this is an away game. So I have to have the navigation lady in my ear. So hopefully she won't get in the way too bad. As I travel on this full show, yes, this is a full show. Today's show title is called Go Home, SBC Leaders. Go Home, SBC Leaders. I might title it something different depending on how things go. We have a question in the inbox about the Gospel Coalition and resources for discernment and the Bible chapter review. As always, we continue in James chapter 1. But first things first, it's Monday, so we have to do the Beth Moore update and the update of Brother William's score. Brother William and I were both way off. The Tennessee-Alabama game was closer than expected, probably because number one, Tua Tagovailoa played poorly. And number two, he got hurt. And the backup quarterback, Mac Jones, looked scared. Nevertheless, Alabama, with a little help from Tennessee's quarterback, won the game. They did not cover the spread. I think the final score of the game ended up being 35-13. And that's the Alabama football update. Now we'll go to the Beth Moore update. I did not raise a dime for the Beth Moore cruise last week. But Beth Moore actually ended up in the news again, the Christian news again. She didn't say or do anything, but John MacArthur did, talking about her. We'll cover that later. But if you want to help me fund my Beth Moore cruise, going on a Lifeway cruise with Beth Moore and her biggest fans to help those poor people realize that they're deceived, well, you can donate on Patreon, you can donate through GoFundMe, you can give through Venmo, you can give through PayPal, that's been the most popular option, or you can send me a good old-fashioned check in the mail, and I will use that money to pay for my cruise fare and to pay for my airfare for the Beth Moore cruise out of Boston. I've already put my deposit down on my cruise tickets. Lifeway tried to keep me off the boat, but I have gone around them. So I've already paid the deposit for my cruise tickets. I think the next payment's due, I want to say in March. This cruise is next October. It's a year from now. And good news, I don't know if it's good news, it is news. I requested the vacation. I requested the week of vacation for next October. So, October is a busy month for me, as you guys know from the lack of Christian commutes. But if I manage myself correctly, manage myself well, I can get that time off. All right, what next? Oh yeah, the actual show, the real deal. Here's the show. The scripture, today's scripture review comes from James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We've talked about asking for wisdom and getting wisdom from God who gives generously. What kind of car is that? I don't even know. Sorry. Some kind of foreign car, like Italian. I'm not that much of a redneck. Some kind of Italian sports car, like some kind of Ferrari or something. I was admiring it. What am I talking about? Yeah, James. James chapter 1, we talked about asking from God who gives generously and not doubting. And now we're moving on to verse 9. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will pass away. What in the world is James talking about? Uh-oh, it's starting to rain. So remember, James previously was talking about asking for wisdom. And this is wise thinking. No matter how much money you have or how great you seem, you're not great. You'll pass away like the grass as the sun beats down upon it. And no matter how lowly or poor you are, if you belong to Christ, you're exalted. So this is almost a nonsensical statement. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. We know the brother of humble circumstances doesn't have a high position. And the rich man, that is a man in a high position, is to glory in his humiliation. What? What are you talking about, James? Well, the translation here, or the term, the Greek term here for humble circumstances, the brother of humble circumstances, that's Strong's 5011. It's a cognate of the word used for humiliation. The rich man is to glory in his humiliation. That's Strong's 5014. These words are similar, and if you're reading in the Greek, you'd notice the similar words. Not quite a pun, but you'd notice that if you were reading it in the Greek. But what we're trying to understand is the brother of humble circumstances, the lowly man, to be contrasted with the rich man, he's to glory in his high position. What is that high position? Well, he's been exalted by God. He's depending on God. That's what James is getting at. If you're rich, don't glory in your riches, in your high position, because that will pass away. Rather, you should glory in depending on God. The poor man has to depend on God because he's got nothing else upon which to depend. So he's glorying in his high position. What is that high position? Being exalted by God and being able to depend on the Father. All right? And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. That is, glory in being so low that you have to depend on someone else, that you have to depend on God. Because rich people, they don't really have to depend on other people because they are self-sufficient. But spiritually, we all must depend on God. And if you are depending on physical things as a rich man, that may make sense from a worldly perspective, but it's not wise from a spiritual perspective because all the physical things are going to pass away. James says that he's like flowering grass and will pass away. I don't think like dandelions in your yard. So the rich man, hold on, I'm having to merge. Let me focus on the merging. What is this? Everybody's all jammed up here. When it starts to rain in Georgia, people forget how to drive. Everybody slows down 10 to 20 miles an hour. I don't know what I'm going to do. There's some strange liquid falling out of the air. It's like they're pre-flood people. It's like they've never seen rain before. What do I do? Just keep driving like you are, just more cautiously. You don't need to slow down 20. All right. Like flowering grass, he passes away. So think of the dandelions in your yard. They pass away. Even the nice flowers in your landscaping, you know, where the mulch is or the pine straw right in front of your house, it passes away. Why? Because the sun beats down on it. The sun rises with a scorching wind. It gets hot. So grass withering because of the sun, that's what we in the carpet business call UV degradation. You don't want to put your carpet in the sunlight unless it's treated for it. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. So the heat and the hot wind wither that grass that looked pretty and it looked healthy and it looked nice, but the flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So think of a beautiful rose sitting on your rose bushes, and here comes the heat of the day and the scorching wind, and those flowers fall off, and it's just a stem with thorns. so too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will pass away. So the implication here is that the rich man has pursued his riches. He's had to work for his money, so to speak. So rich men tend to be industrious. Yeah. If you meet somebody who's rich, and this is my opinion, I'm not talking about what James is teaching. If you meet somebody who's rich and he's not industrious, it's probably because he inherited that money and he won't have it for very long. But people who are self-made rich people, or people who inherit their money but nevertheless their rich parents taught them how to work, they're engaged in pursuits. They're busy with their different business interests and all their investments. And that's a good thing. But you think of how they're engaged in their pursuits and how great they're doing, and you might want to applaud them and say, they're doing pretty good. They're working so hard. My granddaddy Jim said a poor man never gave him a job. So we appreciate, they built something. Yeah, in the midst of his pursuits, he'll pass away like flowering grass, which is worthless. So do not glory in what you have physically, or don't sit there and lament over what you don't have if you're of lowly means, but rather glory in that God has exalted you, God the Father has exalted you into one of His children, and you can depend on Him. Don't put your faith in riches. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. He who humbles himself will be exalted, but he who exalts himself will be humbled. If you put yourself up a peg, God's going to knock you down a peg. No, be humble and let the Lord exalt you. All right, so here I am. I'm at the Adairsville exit. Let's end the Bible chapter review right there. I always think I'm doing good on timing if I get done with the Bible chapter review by Adairsville. But I'm actually having to get off on the Adairsville exit today because I'm going to unincorporated Bartow County. Dun 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 dun. What's the right theme music for that? It's not dun dun dun. That's more like a murder mystery. I think burr, 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 burr. I'm going to unincorporated Bartow County. Out of the city, out in the country. What's this guy doing? Come on, man. I got the green light. And I had to pause the show there because I'm at a red light. And I just can't. I tell you what, I've got a weakness, is that I can't preach at a red light. I don't know if any other preachers have that weakness. I can't preach at a red light. But I can't because I'm stopped and I need to be going. Let me pass this individual who needs to be passed. And I missed my turn. See what happens? I missed my turn. Now I got to make a U-turn. I'm going to go to the inbox anyway because this is insufferable. Candace from Wisconsin writes to the inbox, do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? Please write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Or you can dial 470-315-0875, 470-315-0875. So you can call or you can write an email. Candace wrote an email. And she wrote in earlier, maybe a week or two ago, about something about, well, would you use the Gospel Coalition as a resource? And I was like, no, the Gospel Coalition is awful. But here's her conundrum, all right? There is someone, I think she said it was an elder at her church, who's been recommending resources of Bethel, maybe the songs of Bethel Church Reading and Bethel Music. So there's somebody in her circle who has been pushing Bethel. And Bethel Reading and Bethel Music, that's Bill Johnson out there in California. It's a new apostolic reformation heresy church. I mean, these people are bad news. Bad news. And Candace is looking for a good resource for information about Bethel and why it's bad news. And she's found one. And it's from the Gospel Coalition. So she doesn't want to share the Gospel Coalition. She's like, well, what do I do? So let me answer. Let me give you the advice here, Candace. I've read that Gospel Coalition article myself. It's good. In fact, you know, last week we were talking about Paula White and the problems with her and how it's just unconscionable that Paula White was recommended by Franklin Graham, Jack Graham, and Robert Jeffress, and Greg Laurie for that matter, and how that was unconscionable. And not soon after that, there was an article on the Gospel Coalition, 9 problems with Paula White. I think it was by Joe Carter, and I don't particularly like Joe Carter. As far as people at the Gospel Coalition and the ERLC, Joe Carter's up there in the rogues gallery. But it was a good article, and the 9 things wrong with Paula White were 9 things that are indeed wrong with Paula White. And it was timely. A little too timely, if you ask me, but I wasn't about to share it. Because I can on my own name the things wrong with Paula White. But there's a similar article, and get this, Candace. The article you're talking about, it originally emanated from Gospel Coalition Australia. It was from their Australian website. And I remember when that article came out, and I said, wow, this is a pretty good article. And another thing I remember is down in its citations, it cited Pulpit and Pen. Now, Pulpit and Pen and Gospel Coalition, we don't get along. All right, we don't like them, and they don't like us. And we have articles, Gospel Coalition is bad. They're Marxist change agents. You look up Gospel Coalition on Pulpit and Pen, and you'll see it called the Social Gospel Coalition. And maybe this guy in Australia didn't know that, but nevertheless, he was writing an article about the problems with Bethel Reading and the Bethel Church movement, and he cited one of our articles. And I think it was our article about their practice of grave soaking. Grave soaking is something that goes on in the Bethel movement there. And why do I bring this up? Well, I bring this up, Candace, to show you that even TGC will reference us if they're right. So it's not like you just ignore everything TGC says if they've done the research for you. Are you going to share it on your Facebook? No. Do you want to share it to this guy with no discernment? No, because here's the problem. Whoever in your life, Candace, is advocating for or pushing or recommending Bethel Church Reading has no discernment. If he did, just from what he saw about them, he wouldn't advocate for them. So you don't want to give him the Gospel Coalition resource because that'll get him off Bethel's trail, but now he'll be into the Social Gospel Coalition. You don't want that. So here's what you should do. Read the article from Gospel Coalition, Candace, that has the things that they've listed that are wrong with Bethel. Go to their resources, check out those resources for yourself, and then, Candace, just write your own document. Get on Microsoft Word and write down the points. And then give it to the person and say, I researched these things. List your resources. One of the things you can list as a resource is the sources of the TGC, of the Gospel Coalition article. And you know what? You can list the Gospel Coalition at one of your sources too. I looked it up from these places. It's just true information. It's not an endorsement. That's how research is done. All research is not an endorsement. I might be doing a report, let's say in seminary, I was doing a report about the Watchtower. And I wanted some statement about what the Watchtower believed or the history of the Watchtower. Well, I'd go to their website and find that. And I'd cite it. This is from JW.org. This is where I did my research. Here, they said it. That's how research is done. Gospel Coalition, they've done this research for you. Good. Go cite it, but you don't share the article. You see what I mean? You might say you're whitewashing it. But thanks for writing in, Candace. All right, let's go to today's show topic, Go Home SBC Leaders. So, what was this? Was this Friday? Last week, there was another in the innumerable conferences coming from the evangelical conference circuit. This conference was from Grace Community Church. It was a John MacArthur conference. So they get people to come to their big church and listen to all the talking heads. What's John MacArthur and what is John MacArthur? What's Phil Johnson going to say? We got to know. So Todd Frill was hosting, and he was kind of giving John MacArthur this rapid fire thing. It was a Truth Matters conference, I think it was what it was called. Getting John MacArthur's opinion on something. So Todd Frill says, Beth Moore. And John MacArthur said, go home. That's the word, that word association. Beth Moore, go home. She should go home. She should stop preaching and Bible teaching and just go home. I couldn't agree more. And he went on to criticize the Southern Baptist Convention for accepting her and allowing her to become so popular in Lifeway and in their circles and eventually fill pulpits and preach. And he condemned Southern Baptists for letting women preach the Sunday morning services from the pulpit. And that just set the evangelical world afire. Because big-time guys who are sold at Lifeway and speak have their own conferences like John MacArthur aren't supposed to speak so truthfully, so matter-of-factly about other big-time people, but he did. And people, go home, Beth Moore. But that got me to thinking, and all the controversy got me to thinking, like, yes, I'm going on the Beth Moore cruise, absolutely. To try and witness to the people who are so deceived by this wild-eyed, charismatic prophet. But I got to thinking, people's reaction was John MacArthur was too hard on Beth Moore. But if you listen to it, his real criticism wasn't of Beth Moore, but of the system which allows Beth Moore to prosper and disseminate her crazy ideas. And I thought, you people are missing it. You're focusing on Beth Moore. You need to be focusing on the Southern Baptist Convention and why it allows someone like Beth Moore to become so popular. So I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say, go home, SBC leaders. And here's something that I've come down with, and it's this. It's not that we need to keep rebuking and chastising Beth Moore. She's not getting any better. The ones who need to be rebuked and chastised are the elders who allow Beth Moore to be promoted within their churches. So let's think of some extreme example. Let's say you're a Lutheran pastor in Germany. And Germany, there's a lot of immigration going on in Germany from the Arabic countries. And people are trying to understand their changing demographic. So you're going to do some studies in Germany. You want a Christian understanding of sociology. All right? Because you want people to understand that red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in His sight. Jesus made all of us, all the little children of the world. And that there's one race, the human race, biologically. And that spiritually we're different. And that there's God, it's God's Israel. And then the non-elect. You want people to understand that, right? So you want to study this at your church. So what if a pastor allowed Mein Kampf, Hitler's Mein Kampf, My Struggle, to be studied in his church? Like, let's get some sociological ideas from this. As in, this is a good thing. No, we're not reading it to critique it. We're reading it because we want to get sociological ideas about what it is to be German from this. Well, that preacher or that pastor should be fired. That board of elders should be fired. They're unqualified. They're bad. So this is called an argument ad Hitleritum. All right. Everybody would agree that churches should not be studying Mein Kampf. And if somebody says, hey, listen, I want to study Mein Kampf and what it can teach us in the church, you'd say, no. No, that's bad. So you got some Bible study teacher, some women's ministry leader, or the little associate pastor guy who's in charge of education, he says, we're going to do some Beth Moore. We're going to host a Beth Moore simulcast. Or we're going to do a Beth Moore study. or we're going to encourage people to go on the Beth Moore cruise, for that matter. You know who needs to be chastised? Not just Beth Moore, but that pastor who's doing, he's derelict. He's either derelict or incompetent. Somebody needs to go to him and be like, you're sinking the whole ship. It's the same principle of the music minister and ultimately the board of elders or quote-unquote senior pastor who allows the music minister to play Bethel music and Hillsong in church. You have this guy who has no discernment, who's doing something because it's popular, and he needs to be stopped. And the senior pastor, no, I don't know anything about it. People like it. It's okay, I guess. I don't want to be too narrow. You know, we don't agree with everybody. We don't agree with everything. You know, we have this. We're studying an N.T. Wright book about the resurrection. We don't agree with everything N.T. Wright says. Dude, he's an academic. I hope you wouldn't study him like his theology because it's bad. But we don't agree with everything Beth Moore teaches. We don't agree with everything Bethel Redding teaches. We're just going to use their music. Yeah, but even their music is heretical and they're evil. We don't agree with everything Beth Moore teaches, but we're going to use her Bible study book that teaches the Bible. No, stop it. The buck stops with the pastor. So go home, pastor, who allows Beth Moore or Priscilla Shower or whoever else in your church. Go home, SBC leaders like J.D. Greer, who coddle this woman. J.D. Greer got on Twitter after John MacArthur said what he said, which was needed. And J.D. Greer said, Beth, you're working in my home anytime. Come on, Beth, I'll take you. No, you love your cash cow. Go home, SBC leaders, you greedy bunch of people. And go home, individual church pastors who advertise Beth Moore all over town and all over your church. It's clear you either have no discernment or you're some kind of pragmatist. Pragmatism, Jeff Noblet said recently, is the big sin or the big problem in the SEC. Jeff Noblet said that as he led his church away from the Southern Baptist Convention. So this is about pastors. Y'all, hold your pastors accountable. If you don't, who will? Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Oh, and hold your denomination accountable too. If you don't, who will? Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.